All these punctual people.
Good morning. I'm just going to say hello to everyone as you come in. We've went ahead and started the recording to make it simple for once we get started at the top of the hour.
Hello.
Hi, welcome.
This is Rose.
Hi, Rose. Welcome. Good to have you here.
And Robin's on.
Hi, welcome. So Megan, I might just go ahead and mute everyone and then unmute you.
Sounds like fine.
In the interest, we'll see if this works. Let's try this. Oh, I'm gonna mute everyone and then you can unmute yourself, Megan, okay? Megan, are you able to unmute?
Yes, I am unmuted.
Okay, great. Well, let's go ahead and get started, and I'll just manage this as everyone comes in. And yeah, let's go ahead and get started. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. So welcome everyone to our free Power Women training today, how to deal with conflict and have hard conversations. So this is the second free training that Spa Retailer has offered in conjunction with Leslie in our Power Women series. And I'm so excited to see how much interest we've had both in the free trainings and the more in-depth paid classes. I think we had something like 70 women sign up for the class today. I'm sure not everyone can make it, but that's really exciting. So I personally have done all of these trainings and more. And I feel like I'm kind of still in baby step one. So it has been so helpful to me personally to get a better understanding of what my body's reaction to stress is. Probably like a lot of you, I'm so used to living in a constant state of stress that I had just stopped realizing when I was in the beginning stages of being activated by stress. So instead of having ups and downs, I was just kind of like this all the time. Which isn't healthy for me and my body, but also it doesn't make me an effective leader for my team. So recognizing my stress response and now starting to integrate some tools to handle that response, so I'm not constantly stressed out and exhausted, has just been so, so beneficial to me. And that has been all to Leslie's help in training. So we go so much more in depth on all of this in our longer Power Women series that's starting up again in a couple of weeks. We'll give some more information on that at the end. But today we're going to specifically focus on one particular kind of stress, and that's when you have a conflict with someone or you need to have a difficult conversation with someone. But first, let me introduce Leslie. I could give you her full professional bio. I think maybe I'll drop that in the chat, but she is a very accomplished business coach, author, and speaker. She's worked with several companies in the hot tub space over the years. She's written columns for the magazines, for our magazine, for Spa Retailer over the year. But about a year ago, she and I reconnected and realized that we were pretty aligned in our passion for helping women leaders, specifically in the hot tub world. She is really passionate about helping women become more embodied leaders. So welcome, Leslie, and thank you for doing this training with us today.
Well, thank you, Megan. It is so great to be here. And I just want to acknowledge everyone that's joining us. I was so thrilled about the response that we had to this particular training. And even though I won't be able to see all of you, just know whether you're on video or off video that I am I'm connecting with you and just holding our connection top of mind. So it's a little different for me because I'm actually looking at my PowerPoint versus looking at everyone. But just know that I am my intention is to speak to each of you individually and to share today lots of pieces of information around handling conflict that will make a difference for you. So that is my intention. And my intention is to speak in a way that will make this applicable for you. And I have a phrase that I've developed that I've started using. I didn't develop it, but this phrase of like on the court. So as we go throughout this training today, please, 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 my encouragement is that you really use the chat function. We won't be able to probably hold up hands and call on people to speak. Please definitely use the chat function, and Megan will be managing that and ask questions. And my intention as we go throughout this training is for you to be thinking of, how do I apply this right now on the court, in my business, in my workplace, in my position? So please don't hesitate to ask questions about that. And I will also give you an opportunity to share in the chat specific examples so that I can apply these concepts in a way that makes it directly applicable to your situation. Okay. So Megan, if you like, let's go ahead and start with just giving everyone an overview of what we'll be covering today.
For sure. So in the next hour, Leslie will be covering the communication challenges and opportunities that come from working in a mostly male environment, how to handle confrontation when it gives you anxiety and you'd rather procrastinate and put it off. That's me. How to be more confident, calm, and grounded when having difficult conversations, and why it is critical to overcome procrastination and begin engaging in hard conversations today.
Awesome. So, okay, great. So let's start with, what are your challenges as a woman leader in the hot tub industry? And here are some of the challenges that we've identified. And as I go through this, I invite you to be prepared to share in the chat what your specific challenges are so that we have this be very comprehensive, not just what Megan and I have noticed. One of the big challenges that I've heard from lots of women for many women leaders, I think almost every woman leader in the hot tub industry, is working in a mostly male environment. Megan, do you have stats or does anyone have stats you can put in the chat if you do, in terms of what the percentage and ratio is men to women in the hot tub industry?
Yeah, so I don't think we have any hard statistics. However, like looking at our readership and our demographics, it tends to be about 30-70, 30% women and 70% men.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, if anyone else has an actual stat or a statistic that you've heard, please don't hesitate to put that in the chat. So 30-70 is what you've experienced, Megan, with Spa Retailer. Yeah. So this is important, and this isn't about making men wrong or gender bashing. It's just a fact. I call it a fact of the matter that we are working in a mostly male environment in the hot tub industry. And so with that, and along with that, there are challenges. So let's talk about the challenges that come along with working in a mostly male environment. And I could list out these. I would prefer that you share in the chat what you've experienced in terms of your challenges with working in a mostly male environment in the hot tub industry. And as you start sharing those in the chat, Megan will just read them off. It'll be more effective that way. I've talked with lots of women leaders and they shared lots of different stories with me. And let's just make this applicable to you and your experience. So please write in the chat and let's hear what you've experienced in terms of those particular challenges.
So Nadine said that she's the only woman on her management team. So Nadine's holding it down strong for all the women. And Melissa said that, and this is so common, I hear it from women in the industry all the time, is just not having customers believe you. Stereotypes, Crystal says, about being a mom makes me less of a manager. That's a great one. Susan says her business is 50-50, but probably because she does the hiring. But yeah, Jody says that from a technical support perspective, because that's what she does. They sometimes will ask if there's anyone else who could answer the question before they've even asked it and heard her response. And the same thing. It sounds like having people just not taking you seriously, especially in technical things, as a woman, and asking for someone else, which is sort of code for a man. And then discussing opinions or requests, discussing her opinions and requests as emotional reactions, as opposed to legitimate concerns. So those are all things that I know I have more or less experienced, if not in the industry, in my life.
Yeah, agreed. Thank you. And it's important because I've worked with many other industries, and it's important to acknowledge, like, for us to be aware of course, it's not just in the hot tub industry. When we work in a mostly male environment, it's helpful to just keep in mind this is in all other industries as well. And it can be really frustrating when we're experiencing those challenges. And the question becomes, how do we address that and deal with that? And so that's what we'll be talking about in our training today. And again, I always like to say this doesn't make anyone good, bad, right, or wrong. It's just supporting us. We have an opportunity as women to come together to be able to support each other in terms of how can we be more effective leaders, given that this is the context or the culture that we're working in. Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for those the shares in the chat. That's really great. So I just want to pause a second. Megan, what would you say, which one stands out for you in terms of what you heard in the chat that I can keep top of mind of our conversation today that you feel like is one that you've heard a lot that would be important? Inform my talk.
I feel like the common theme that I've seen, even just in these responses, and from talking to women in the industry before, is when it comes to dealing with customers and with whether it's your employer or coworkers, is just your ideas or responses not being taken seriously or not being seen as correct or as emotional. And so it's really kind of that that dismissiveness that you sometimes experience from both customers and fellow coworkers.
Oh, perfect. Very well said. And that's what I've heard too from women that I've talked to in our trainings. Yeah, I've heard women share that they'll make a particular request and it won't be heard by them. But if someone else if a man makes that request, then they've noticed that the response, that they get a response to it. And there's a lot that goes on here. It's not just, it comes up around gender issues, and it also comes up in terms of how we're communicating. So I'll speak to that a little bit more. Great, thank you for that, Megan. Okay, so then the other challenge is the double bind in leadership. And some of you already spoke to this in the chat, is being seen as too nice or too aggressive. So with women, we have this challenge of, if we're too aggressive, then we're seen as being, it's not a good thing. It's seen as being, you know, women talk about that they're seen as being the B word, right? And then I've had women leaders that struggle with being too nice. And if they're too nice, then they're not taken seriously either. So this is called a double bind. And not good, bad, right, or wrong. Culturally, what happens is, in terms of a double bind, what that means is when men are seen as aggressive, it's seen as a good thing, and it comes off well. As women, we get to be aware of the cultural norms that we live in, that we do have that challenge in terms of, if we're going to handle conflict and be more direct, that we can be seen as too aggressive. And I've had so many women leaders tell me that if they lean more on the direct, approaching conflict and deal with it, that they've been told that they can be seen as being too strong and too much and too bossy. And so their challenge is that they feel like that they have to temper that and hold that back. Meanwhile, resentments build up and they feel like that they have to contort themselves and be someone that they're not as a leader. Megan, is there anything else that you would speak to in terms of that you would want to add to that? Or does that encapsulate it?
No, I think that's great. It's I really enjoyed watching you struggle to find a word to use. There. We all knew exactly what you were thinking.
I know, we've all heard it and said it. I also want to be helpful. Yeah. Anyone else, if there's anything that you want to share in the chat about that you feel like that you've struggled with this balance between being direct or not being direct, trying to be nice. I hear women say, I want to be people's friend, you know, and yet I want to support my team in getting things done. So I do need to be direct. So
I think I like the point you made, Leslie, about trying to temper that so that, but you're not being true to yourself. I think that's kind of what we're trying to do here, is find that balance of being a good leader, an effective leader, and then also being true to yourself, so that you're not exhausted at the end of the day because you've been trying to conform yourself to be, you know, what the expectations are versus who you truly are as a leader. And that ultimately is not effective, because people see through that inauthenticity.
Yeah. Yes. Very, very well said. And also it has us not, they do see through that inauthenticity, and it's not, we want to find a middle way. We want to be able to work with what's going on in our nervous system, I call it, in our bodies, in our mental capacity, in our emotional capacity, so that we can be effective leaders. So we don't feel like we're stuck in this double bind. So I'll be providing information around that will support you in that. So the other is not advocating and standing up for themselves during conflict and hard conversations. Trusting their own voice. It's really easy. I've noticed for women leaders, we do have that part of ourselves that wants to be liked, wants to be accepted. And so there's this concern of, I notice wanting to be liked and wanting to be accepted can get in the way of trusting and hearing our own voice and trusting our own wisdom and knowledge that we have as women leaders, because there's a filter that occurs because of our concern of how it might land for other people, that we actually have difficulty trusting our own voice and our wisdom and our guidance. And I, you know, to put it in a even more clear, succinct term, it's like in terms of, you know, the systems, the procedures, the guidelines that we need to follow, you know, being a stand for that and communicating that with other people. Another one that I've heard all the time from incredibly successful women in the hot tub industry is struggling with imposter syndrome, feeling like I'm an imposter. I don't belong here. I don't know enough, and perfectionism, struggling to do it all and to achieve this really high level of productivity, and constantly feeling like that, that you're falling short. And the interesting thing, like I said, so many women that struggle with imposter syndrome are incredibly brilliant and knowledgeable and skilled and have years of experience and even degrees, and we can still struggle with imposter syndrome. And the sixth one is not having a sisterhood. I've heard this so much from women in the hot tub industry. It's like this desire of, we're all in this together, and yet I feel like that I don't have access to all these other women that can support me. I feel isolated. And so when we had our first Power Women training, so many of the women said that was one of the primary, desires or outcomes that they wanted to create, was to have a sisterhood of other women in the hot tub industry so that we can build each other up and support each other instead of being out there doing it on our own. Yeah. Okay, so let me hear in the chat, if you would please, real quick, any other challenges that you feel like would be important that you've experienced as a woman in the hot tub industry that you don't feel like falls into these other categories, just so Megan can capture it and give voice to it. Anything else outside of these six in terms of challenges? And you can think of it in terms of, especially around communicating and dealing with conflict and having hard conversations, or go broader in terms of being a woman in the hot tub industry.
Yeah, so communicating with other women in the industry is one that was brought up. So I think that's really interesting. Because you can, when you're so used to only, sometimes it feels like only communicating with men, and then you turn around and you're trying to get to know or build relationships with other women. That can be a challenge too. And that is a really interesting one.
I would be curious for who typed that in. Is the challenge around how you feel other women receive your communication, or is the challenge around having access to communicating with other women? Because I've worked with a lot of women leaders that they feel really challenged when it comes to working with other women and how they're received in terms of competition. So I'm just curious for the person that typed that in, if it's having access to communication or how your communication is received with other women.
Looks like it's being received.
Perfect. That's what I thought. Yeah. Thank you so much. Wow. I'm so glad you shared that. Great. If there's other ideas that come in, feel free to keep adding to that in terms of challenges. Just type in the chat additional challenges, and Megan can read them out as we progress through our training today. Okay. This is a great lesson in multitasking, presenting and admitting people to Zoom. I just love it. Okay, so I want to invite you for a moment to just imagine. I want to invite you for a moment to just imagine, and I'm going to say a couple of phrases, and it's very easy when we're dealing with challenges as women, anyone, it doesn't matter the gender, but to focus on the challenges. And I want to give you an opportunity to relate to what it would be like to cause a breakthrough around some of these challenges. So I have a couple of things written here, and just take a moment if you want to turn off your video or just kind of take this in. This will just take this like a minute, but I invite you to really receive this. So take a moment and imagine, what would it feel like to be a woman leader who is, give me a second. What would it be like to be a woman leader who is taking action, who is standing up and speaking into your full power and authority, even if you're afraid of conflict or how that might land for others? And maybe you're already someone who does this. I invite you to imagine what would it be like for you to take it to the next level for you? Imagine how it would feel to manage and communicate with different people without concern of being misunderstood or being too direct with others. What it might feel like to no longer have to overthink or overanalyze conversations in person or in email. What would it feel like to successfully handle confrontation and conflict, to feel really proud of how you handle confrontation and conflict? And lastly, what would it feel like for you to be a leader in your industry who, because of the way that you've transformed how you handle conflict and having hard conversations, that you're causing new results and breakthroughs to happen in your role and in your workplace? What would it be like to cause new outcomes and results to happen because you're engaging in these difficult conversations and feeling confident around your ability to handle conflict? And just take a moment and let that in. And we're just imagining, we're not, if only it were possible. For some of you, it might be very easy to imagine this. For others, it might feel a little more challenging. So we're just like kids, you know, how they play dress up, you know, young kids is like, what if we did this? I remember overhearing my son and his friend when he was like 8, you know, they went back and forth. What if we were Ninja Turtles? And the other friend said, you know, his friend said, my son's friend said, well, what if we played like cowboys? And, you know, so imagine this for a moment, because it can be very easy to limit ourselves by the experiences that we've had. And there actually is a new possibility for us as women leaders in the hot tub industry. And I just want to invite you to get in touch with that. Okay. All right. So let's talk about, you're in the right place. You're in the right place if you're an owner, a manager, in terms of our conversation that we're having today, a director, if you're in human resource, if you're a leader, or if you're someone that's seen as a leader or not, you know, all the things, my intention is that the information that I share with you greatly supports you. You're in the right place if you struggle with conflict. You're in the right place if you're currently overanalyzing when it comes to conflict. And if you struggle with being a people pleaser or a yes person, or if you're evading difficult conversations and procrastinating and holding people accountable, you're in the right place. My intention is to support us in addressing this. And also, if you don't have it already, I invite you to get a paper and pen handy, or whatever you want to record notes on, because we're going here in just a few minutes, we're going to get into some very specific things that you'll probably want to take notes on. So let me just share briefly about my personal struggle with conflict, because this is something that I really believe in and I hold near and dear to my heart. Ever since at a very young age, I was afraid of conflict. I grew up in a big family, and a big family, meaning six of us, 4 kids, 2 parents. And I hated being the center of attention. So I hated being teased. And we had a great sense of humor, but it was also very harsh at times. And so my way of dealing with that was that I would become small and try to avoid being the focal point. And also there was a lot of intensity with that many people in our household. And of course, a lot of conflict. And my way of dealing with conflict was to just go along with whatever my mom said, because I was very afraid of doing it wrong. And I was afraid of her anger again, that's just the way it was. That's how I grew up. And so I really wasn't in touch. I wanted to people please. I grew up people pleasing. I grew up, you know, with the decision of, okay, whatever my mom said to do, it kind of sounds, anyway, it's surprising to hear myself describe it. And it makes sense. I guess I feel it's a little bit vulnerable sharing that, honestly, because I am used to my coping and survival skill was I've got it together. I'm powerful. I can handle it. So that was something else that happened in regards to conflict for me, is that I decided to make it look like I was confident on the outside when I felt not at all confident on the inside. So I'm noticing as I share that with all of you, it's like that comes up for me. It's like, wow, this is hard actually to admit. It's challenging to admit. And so I wanted to avoid confrontation. And the last thing that I want to share around this is, especially with clients, I've run my business for over 20 years now. And I realized that when I started my business, I wanted, not surprisingly, my clients to like me. And I was afraid to say things that they might take personally. And so I wasn't being a very effective coach. And I realized, so here's, I call it a leadership wealth pearl that I'm sharing. My mindset shift was that I wanted to be respected more than I wanted to be liked. I made that decision. I want to be respected. I value being respected more than I value being liked. And I started saying things more direct, saying things more clearly, and that supported me in basically trusted me on my journey into the into communication. And I'm a lifetime learner around conflict and communication and having, you know, hard conversations. So I love this slide. So let's talk about, in terms of hard conversations and dealing with conflict. I put this slide up because it's like the elephant in the room. So what's the elephant in the room? What I've noticed is many of us as leaders, not just women leaders, and I will share tips with you. I will share very specific pieces with you today. But the elephant in the room is that when it comes to leadership work, many of us, myself included, it's not good, bad, or right or wrong, but we want to have the script. We want to have the thing to say. We want to know what the formula is. And so we want the science of it. We want the knowledge around it. And having hard conversations and dealing with conflict is actually an art, in terms of, while you will be receiving tips today, a tip and a script only gets us so far. So it's actually an art. And the irony is, it's a science. It turns out that if we are really committed to being effective leaders around conflict and hard conversations, there is a science to it, not in the science of give me more knowledge, but the science of what's actually happening for me internally. I call it in my nervous system. What's happening for me when I'm engaging with conflict? So I'm going to ask Megan to type in the, not type in the chat, but to invite all of you to type in the chat and for Megan to read. Your responses, when I talk about what happens for you in your nervous system, in your body, when you think about having a hard conversation and engaging in conflict, what's that emotional experience that you have? Do you feel tense? Do you feel nervous? Do you just want to avoid it? Do you want to fall asleep? Do you feel fiery? What happens for you in your body before, even when you think about engaging in these kinds of conversations, let alone when you're engaging in the conversations?
So knots in my stomach, anxiety, fiery, increased heart rate. For me, I get that sinking feeling in my stomach. And then also I want to run away. anxious, irritated, feeling like you want to give up, feeling, you know, nauseous and actually like sick to your stomach. I can relate to all of these.
Sorry for laughing, Megan. I could see it on your face.
Yeah. I do too. Self-doubt, scared and nervous, shaky. That's a great one. I get like that too. Sometimes if I get really worked up about something, I start to get shaky, feeling panic.
Yeah. These are normal responses you're not alone in this response that you have. And that's why I say having hard conversations and dealing with conflict is an art and a science. Science, again, not in more mental knowledge, but the solution is that it's a neuroscience. If we're going to become effective communicators under conflict and having difficult conversations, we have an opportunity to begin to understand what's happening in our body and our nervous system when we're having all those kinds of responses that each of you shared. Because until we're able to work effectively with those responses, little side note here, what those responses are, they're actually part of a survival response. It's saying we're not safe. I'm about to do something that's hard and it's not safe. And most of us, if given a choice, will avoid that. But it's a normal survival response until we know how to work with that. We won't have our prefrontal lobe, our executive functioning on board. You've heard of the amygdala hijack. We're in a stress response. And so we need to know how to work with that stress response if we are going to cause breakthroughs in terms of our conversations that we're having. So I'll be sharing a little bit more towards the end of our training today. For those of you that want to deepen your work around this, it's called neuroscience. And if you want something more than just a script and you really want to be an embodied leader that impacts change in your organization through your communication, this is where this is a very little known approach to dealing with conflict that people don't give nearly enough attention to. So it's a science and an art. It turns out it's a neuroscience. So why is it critical to start engaging in these hard conversations today? This is one of the another one of the things that we promised to talk about. So I love this part. I'm feeling very excited as we step into this piece of the training. So actually, somebody guess, put some answers in the chat. Why do you think for you that it's critical that you start engaging in hard conversations? You might not want to, but why is it critical? If you were to consider that it's actually critical, why would it be critical for you personally? What do you stand to benefit from this thing that you very much want to avoid because it makes us feel uncomfortable?
So it makes it easier. Once it's dealt with, you will feel better. You're growing and moving forward. thickens your skin. kind of mastering the behavior, and you've done your part. You're less likely to explode. That's such a good one. Yes.
Awesome. I had that one down too. So think of it this way. Most businesses do not think of conflict in this way. If you've heard of the book, Five Dysfunctions of a Team, it was written many, many years ago. It's probably now considered old, perhaps even classic leadership material. But Patrick Lencioni, I'm probably mispronouncing his name, but he gives five dysfunctions of a team. And one of the second dysfunctions of a team that he mentions is the inability to master conflict. And this is at the foundation of building a successful team and a successful business and organization. The first piece of that foundation is building trust. The second piece is mastering conflict. So here's the situation. Here's the deal. Consider this. If we are not able to work with conflict, and if conflict is not something that's accepted, culturally accepted in our workplace, then what's happening is people aren't sharing their ideas. We're not moving our business or organization forward. It's not a safe environment. We don't feel safe. So any of those communications that you are not engaging in doesn't make you a bad leader, just makes you normal. But anything that we're avoiding in terms of our communication, in terms of conflict or hard conversations, we are not moving our business, our workplace, our organization forward. And when I do leadership work with organizations and leadership teams, I encourage them to share everything there is to share and to say the hard things. because if we're going to grow, we need to be able to communicate that. So somebody said this in the chat, a leadership pearl that I wanted to share with you is that, actually this wasn't shared in the chat, but this was something that made me think of what was shared in the chat. Think about it this way. If we have conflict or issues that we're not addressing, we're actually experiencing in our own body, in our own nervous system, we're experiencing an incompletion cycle. You know, like those hard conversations that you feel like that you need to have with your kids or your partner, and you keep putting it off. Each time we ruminate about something and we don't take action on it, there's an incomplete cycle in our nervous system where we're getting kind of riled up and thinking about something, but then nothing happens. And these, does that make sense? Like, and then we think about, oh, I need to talk to this person. Let me analyze it. I'll do it later. Nothing happens. Or you do something and it doesn't produce a good result. That's called an incompletion cycle. And that has an impact on our energy, on our ability to show up and be present for other people and to be a leader with integrity. And I define integrity as being whole and complete as a leader. So the more whole and complete that we are as a leader, and we complete these incompletion cycles and have these conversations. Have you ever noticed when you had that conversation that you'd been putting off and it has a good result? Would you share in the chat what you've noticed as a result of that conversation? So when you've engaged in a hard conversation and it produced a good result, how did you feel as a result of that conversation?
So relief, amazing, lighter. I don't think I'd ever thought about it that way, that incompletion cycle, but that makes a lot of sense. Because it's like, even if you're not thinking about it, you still feel like you have this thing kind of hanging over you. And I've noticed in my business, whenever I have put off having a hard conversation, it's like our whole company is stuck. And for whatever reason, we are not getting things done. We're not moving forward. We're not doing our best. And then whenever I have that conversation, it's like the whole team is lifted up. It's like everybody can feel it.
So beautifully said, Megan. And I've seen that with the leadership work that I've done. It frees up the entire team. Everybody's relieved. So it turns out the conversations that we're putting off are also causing incompletion cycles for other people as well. And when I work with employees, either company-wide employees or the leadership team, you know what I've heard hands down from everyone that I've ever worked with is that the employees and the leaders, everyone says they want to be part of a winning team. So when we have these difficult conversations, it puts us all, gives us all that experience of being part of a winning team because we're moving things forward. All right. Oh, actually, let me just back up. I have to share this. So a leader that I was working with, he described himself as a peaceful warrior. So he'd be very peaceful, and he was that exploding doormat until it happened too long, it went on too long, and then he'd explode. And then with our work together, he came to this understanding that the first time something happens, it's on someone else. It just happens. You know, the first incident is on someone else. The second time it happens, it's on him as a leader. And a real quick leadership wealth pearl that I have for all of you is taking 100% responsibility for these conversations. It doesn't mean that someone else doesn't have a part, but we can't make anyone else change. If we wait for someone else to change and to handle it differently, we're left being at the circumstance or a victim of waiting for someone else. We're not being a powerful leader. And so if we take responsibility in terms of what's my part in this conversation that I'm putting off, what's my part, what can I do differently? So we want to begin to be 100% responsible so that we can take action. And so the leadership wealth pearl is, the first time it happens, it's on me. The first time it happens, it's on someone else. The second time it happens, it's on me. So now I need to address it. It's calling forth from me an opportunity to address this. All right, so how do we handle confrontation when it gives us anxiety and we would rather avoid it? So a few pieces here that I want to make sure that I mention is I've noticed that as leaders, a lot of, especially as women, many times, I'm going to ask another question for the chat. Why do you avoid and procrastinate with having these hard conversations? Just take a moment and think of a couple of conversations or conflict that you're currently experiencing. I'm going to call this an on the court experience. Think of one or two situations that right now in your workplace you're dealing with. I'm not going to ask you to share what those are, but why are you avoiding engaging and doing something about that? And perhaps you're not avoiding, perhaps you've taken some action, but what has you wanting to avoid or procrastinate?
So there's this hope that it'll just go away. And you might not actually have to work on it. Or you're just trying to avoid discomfort, or you're afraid that the outcome will be negative and not what you want to happen.
Oh, good, good. And my question for those of you that said that you're avoiding it, why are you avoiding it? So this last person said, because of the outcome, it might be negative. Anyone can jump in and answer whether you've been on the chat or not. Why do you avoid and procrastinate? What is it that you're afraid of? Megan, is there anything that comes to mind for you?
Nadine says not wanting to hurt anyone. I think that's a great one.
Yep.
Earlier in the chat, I can't remember who it was now, but we were talking about seeing someone else's fail. Like if you've trained someone or someone's under you, you see their failure as your failure. And so I think that's the word that popped into my mind when you asked that question is failure. There's something about this conversation that makes me feel like I have failed. I think that's a big thing for me. So.
And along those lines, what I've heard leaders say is, see if this resonates for any of you. I can't have that conversation with that person because I'm doing that too, or I'm not good enough. I'm not a good enough role model. So who am I to tell them to do this differently? Because I've procrastinated on this project as well. Yeah.
And I think there's another one great one that was brought up was because the conversation, it may be something that you don't want to know about yourself, which is also true. Like sometimes that mirror can feel harsh.
Oh, that's so great. Yeah, because when we engage in conflict, we risk somebody else sharing, we risk having something else revealed about us where we're less than effective as leaders. Okay, so here's some solution to that in terms of how we can shift our mindset. Consider that we really can't control any outcome. This might not feel like much solace, like it might not provide you with much solace, but consider this, that as leaders, we actually can't control the outcome. As people, as individuals in life, we're not powerless, but we're often not in control of how things play out in life. And there's something in psychology, if you've heard of it, it's called the external locus of control. So what that means is we have a belief that if we can control other people and get them to behave the way we want them to behave, that we will be okay if we can control something externally outside of us. There's another term that's called an internal locus of control. And that means I can control who I am and how I show up in regards to this, what we're talking about today, consider I might not be able to control other people and how they're going to respond. That's an external locus of control. I have 100% opportunity and ability to control and work with how I respond. And again, it's so great because, you know, with this training, this next training that we have coming up, we are focusing on how to focus on you so that you can engage and deal with conflict and hard conversations, because in truth, many of us don't even have control of ourselves in conversations. When we're dealing with conflict, we go into it's biology and science, a survival state. We go into fight, flight, freeze, or there's new survival responses that there's been recent research on in the last 20-ish years plus around that as women, and it happens in men too, we can go into fitting in and feigning, which is trying to pretend and act like we're okay. Fawning, taking care of other people pleasing, and fitting in. So not saying what there is that we need to say. So the opportunity is to begin to, you know, have the intention to become masterful and to work on, because we can't control other people, but I will share, and I will share you a couple practical tips here in a moment about how you can handle conflict. And we want to give ourselves the opportunity to begin working on ourselves so that we can become more effective communicators during conflict. All right. So So how to be more confident, calm, and grounded. Actually, let me just back up this a couple of practical pieces. So let me give you a couple of, I call them like knowledge candy, brain candy for conflict. And you guys will enjoy this, I think. So what are some practical, knowledgeable, on the court tips that we can take away from this training? So recognize what is your natural tendency when it comes to dealing with conflict. Are you someone who goes direct and likes to cut to the chase and get to the point? Or are you someone who is an avoider? So share with us where you land in that. Are you an avoider? You want to make sure everyone's happy. You're afraid of upsetting people. I'm curious, how many of you are seekers and you're direct and to the point and let's just get it all out on the table and tell the truth? And how many of you are, I'd like to do something about this, but conflict makes me nauseous and I'd just rather avoid it. Let's get a quick tally here.
So far, mostly avoid, but we do have one that's direct. Mostly avoid. I'm definitely avoid.
Yeah, that's where I lean too. That's where I lean. Well, not anymore, but I was so that all my life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So for starters, just recognize your natural tendency. And let's not make that wrong, but there's an opportunity to work with that. If you're an avoider, there's things that you can do to start feeling more safe around conflict. And if you're a seeker, you tend to go into that aggressive, I call it the wolf energy. And there's things that you can do to work with that so you don't feel like that you have to hold back. My seekers or direct women, they tell me, I feel like I just have to be friendly for everyone and to take care of everyone. And it just takes too much time and I don't have time for that. Like, I feel like I have to take, like, it's so annoying to them because they're very production efficiency. They're like, let's get it done. And they're very comfortable with conflict. So know where you fall. And then there are actually, if we consider it quite broadly, there's four types of conflict. Let me talk about what those are. This will be helpful for you because then we can stop taking the conflict that's happening in our workplace as personally, and even the conflict at home that happens in our personal relationships. So there's four types of conflict. There's conflict that's around the relationship, like your annoyance or frustration with who people are as individuals, your relationship. There's the conflict around the goal or the outcome that you want to achieve. There's that kind of conflict. There's conflict around the process. So how do we want to approach this issue? How do we want to approach this project? How do we want to deal with, you know, whatever the situation is? And then there's conflict around status. Who has more status than the other person? Who's the one that gets to have the, you know, there can be conflict around someone actually having more power than you or them, or for yourself around someone having your experience around someone else having more power. So four types of conflict. And it's just helpful. The conflict that you're dealing with right now that comes to mind, think to yourself, what category does that fall into? Is it relationship? Is it the goal or outcome? Is it the process or how to do it? Or is it somebody's status? You know, somebody else being more in charge. And this is helpful because most of us, when we deal with conflict, we think it's all personal, but it's not. It helps us to begin to take the personal aspect out of it and realize, oh, this is just conflict around this XYZ. Now I can talk about our goal. All right. So options for handling conflict. Here's our options for handling conflict. We can do nothing. We can address it indirectly, which many of us do that if we're avoiders. We talk to our friends, what should we do about it? We think about it and then we decide, and then maybe we hope that someone else will bring it up. So do nothing, address it indirectly, address it directly, or exit or leave. Hopefully that person will get a different position. We won't have to deal with them. Maybe we should just fire them. Those are our options. It's pretty straightforward. Megan, any comments? I felt like I was talking a while, so I just want to check in. I know this is a lot of info.
No, I don't think so. I think I really like the idea of looking at the type of conflict it is so that it doesn't feel personal.
Exactly.
A great tip.
That's huge. So think about the conflict right now, everyone. And what category does that fall in for you? The goal, the process, or the status, or the relationship? Okay, so let's move forward. Actually, Megan, I'm just going to pause. I have one more piece that I want to share in terms of how to be more confident and calm and grounded. And I shared with Megan and I shared with you at the beginning, for those of you that want to deepen this work, we have an upcoming Power Women training series that's starting in 2 weeks. And our focus during that series is how to manage and work with yourself so that you can become a more powerful woman when dealing with conflict and hard conversations. So this is specifically around the internal locus of control. If we can take ourselves to the next level, then we can communicate in a way that impacts everyone else around us around having these hard conversations. And then I'm going to share, we'll close out after Megan shares that, the last tip on how to be more confident, calm, and grounded when having these difficult conversations. And I'll go ahead and just share this part, Megan.
I put it in the chat as well.
Oh, good. Yeah. So would you like to share a little bit about the training that we have coming up?
Yeah. So I think that regroup.
No worries. So
it's starting in 2 weeks. We're having a 5-week training. Is that correct, Leslie?
Yes.
Where it's a meeting very similar to this. We are limiting it to 15 women because, so we've done one of these before and we're learning as we go about what works best. And it's great when you have a chance to really get to know each other and you can kind of be more vulnerable and open with each other. And so So yeah, it's going to be only 15 this time. So if you are interested, I would sign up soon. The training is an hour and a half every
Tuesday.
Guys. every Tuesday. So that's coming up soon. And yeah, the first one was really, really helpful to me. I am definitely an avoider. And like I said earlier, was kind of at my peak stress for a long time without even really recognizing it. And so it's been really helpful to start to understand how my body is reacting in the moment instead of, you know, a month later when I'm analyzing why something went wrong and deal with it at that time instead of dealing with it, you know, down the road or after I've just completely collapsed. So it's been really helpful. I'm not like a woo-woo person. And so I think that's the thing I appreciate about this is that it's not kind of that woo-woo sort of, you know, touchy feeling. It's kind of actually grounded in the science of your brain and your nervous system. So, and Susan asked if you can't make every one of the meetings, if you can catch up by recording. And yes, you can. Obviously, we're all very busy people. And so it's hard to make every single one. Things are going to come up. So yes, they are all recorded and then sent around after the fact.
Awesome. Thank you. And Megan will include that link when we send out the recording. So that actually segues a powerful group. It's amazing. And to also build up that sisterhood of other women in the hot tub industry. And it's an opportunity for us building each other up. So we're almost at the top of the hour. Basically, we are. So let me complete this other point because it's a great segue. So how do we be more confident, calm, and grounded when we're having difficult conversations? I mentioned this earlier, but it's basically brain science. Like we cannot have the most effective conversation if we're in a fight mode. Those of us that want to be direct and just jump in, we're in a flight mode. We're like afraid of the conflict. What's somebody going to say? Or if we're freezy, and it's like, we can't even think, we get overwhelmed, our eyes glaze over, or if we want to take care of other people. And what happens for the people that are avoiders and lean towards taking care of other people that I've heard them talk about is that they'll get out of that conflict or hard conversation and you'll start thinking about it and you're just resentful because it's like, why didn't I say what I wanted to say? So we hold on to resentments. So how can we be more confident, calm, and grounded is being able to work with our nervous system and our stress responses so that literally, we have our prefrontal cortex on board when we're engaging in this hard conversation. And a great example is my preparing. Oh, I'll keep it short. Like the last, you know, 24 hours leading up to this presentation, I had some very huge stressors going on. And I used so many of the tools that I teach in Power Women to help myself be calm, be grounded, be more grounded, be more present. And I was able, when my nervous system started getting up here and feeling anxious and like overwhelmed, I was able to pause and bring it down. So I can't believe everything that I was able to do and accomplish with my family and in regards to this training. But in terms of conflict, I'll speak to that lastly. Probably just as importantly or more importantly or most importantly around conflict, I was an avoider and I went into freeze. And now when there's conflict, I'm able to just be present with it and think clearly. If I have anxiety come up, I know how to work with it. And I've noticed it, I've become, and you can become like the hanging. I love to use the analogy and the metaphor of a hanging mobile. Most people don't have mobiles now, but if you think of like the mobiles above a baby's crib, if you touch one piece in that mobile, all the other pieces move. So this is the power of learning how to work with ourself and our own nervous system when we're dealing with conflict, when we're calm, when we're grounded, when we're able to get to that state, then all the other pieces, we impact everyone else around us, the people that we're leading, our owners, the people, our direct reports, and we're able to have more powerful conversations that cause breakthroughs instead of avoiding them or going in like a bull in the china shop. So it's phenomenal. It really is. It's like magic, really, like when you can be calm and grounded and know how to work and be present and not be taken under amongst conflict, what you can accomplish with your ownership team, with your leadership team, and support them in doing that. The same with their employees. It's literally, you get more done with greater efficacy and greater ease and significantly less effort. It's just phenomenal. So let me just close. I love this quote. I don't know who said it, but a strong woman knows she has the strength for the journey, but a woman of strength knows it is in the journey where she will become strong. And so I wish all of you in this journey of engaging in difficult conversations and having hard conversations and dealing with conflict, because by engaging in that journey, you will become stronger. So Megan, is there anything you'd like to say to close us out?
I don't think so. Thank you guys all for joining us today. I really appreciate it. And I've really enjoyed this. And it's so great to get together in a group like this. And just sometimes there's a lot of comfort just in knowing that you're not alone and there's other people who are going through and dealing with and feeling the same things that you are. So thank you so much for joining us and for doing that with us today.
Absolutely. Great to connect with all of you, and you'll get the recording. Take care. Wish you the best.